Welcome to today's episode. My name is Vanessa Gentile.
And I'm Stefan Lendy.
We are excited to have Mark with us, a seasoned expert in predictive analytics and AI.
With years of experience helping companies navigate their AI journeys, Mark has seen firsthand how the challenges in the AI space have evolved, and yet some remain remarkably consistent.
Today, we will dive into some of the most common obstacles businesses face when implementing AI, how to get beyond proof of concept and real-world example of successful AI use cases across industries.
We will then touch on the unique challenges in the pharmaceutical industry, where Mark has been doing a lot of groundbreaking work. Mark, thank you for joining us. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Mark, tell us briefly who you are.
Yeah, so my name is Mark. I am a guest lecturer at the University of St. Gallen for machine learning and AI, and also what we call a solution engineer here at Salesforce in Switzerland for 3 years and counting.
Great, thank you so much. Let's start right with the first question. Tell us some of the most common challenges that you have seen customers struggle when it comes to embarking on their AI journey.
Yeah, I would say the challenges have really been manifold, right? Starting all the way from the early beginning, right? Like what are suitable use cases that a company would actually want to pursue? And then oftentimes companies will basically discover that they lack the data that they would need to actually put those use cases into a project or into a production even. When they do have the data available, they also discover that more time than not, the data is not in the quality they would like. Mm-hmm. It's disjointed. It's not, you know, following in a harmonic structure or anything like that. And I've seen many, many times, unfortunately, that, you know, from a technical side, a AI project would actually be deemed successful, but it's somewhat stuck in like a lab environment and never makes it into a business process. So I would say those are typically the biggest challenges that many, many customers are facing still today. Yeah.
From the outside, it seems that proofing something novel like AI to work from a technical perspective would be enough. Shouldn't it then be a piece of cake to get that to work for the entire business?
Yeah, somehow yes and somehow no, right? It does seem like the technicality of AI is the thing to prove, and that's true, right? But what customers oftentimes don't do in the early beginning is really think about the business process that they're trying to improve and what should that desired target state really look like. So it's really about, you know, envisioning the process, how it would look like in the improved state, and then working all the way back from there. And as companies typically then discover, it has a lot to do with technology, obviously, but even more so with the people that use the technology and how the processes should evolve for a better outcome.
Mark, tell us about some of the most common challenges that you have seen customers struggles with when it comes to embarking on their AI journey.
I would say it starts with actually, you know, understanding what AI as a capability can do, and then coming down with the use cases that are relevant for a given business, right? So really to make sure you're going down the right path of using technology for what it's actually intended to be used. Once customers, you know, have made up their mind about that, typically what they will struggle with is identifying the right data that the AI will need to really learn from it. And with it, consequentially, they will discover that that data typically sits spread across many systems in disjointed, you know, silos almost, and not having a harmonized structure, so you could really take advantage of it immediately. So a lot of it has also to do with data quality. Lastly, I would add that there's a big, you know, also organizational change process associated with embarking on an AI journey, because AI models in their nature, they're what we call probabilistic, right? So it just means inherently sometimes things will not come out the way that you would envision them to come out, right? Mm-hmm. And that is also posing a challenge for customers and their employees, quite frankly, in terms of what to do when something maybe unexpected happens. That's something they might not be familiar with because of the deterministic nature of software historically, let's say, whenever you would always have a clear condition, if this happens, then always that happens. Whereas in probabilistic AI models, what you're looking at is that 95% out of the times, this will happen, but there's a 5% chance something else is going to happen. Right?
And that's something, of course, that everyone needs to understand
Absolutely.
About AI. Now, from the outside, it seems that proofing something novel like AI to work from a technical perspective mm-hmm. would be enough, but it's not. So shouldn't it be a piece of cake logically to get what works in one case, to get that to work for the entire business?
Yeah, it's a very good question. What you typically see is that these, let's call them pilot use cases, mm-hmm. right? They're done by a data science or data analytics department within a company. And more often than not, actually, you know, surprisingly, you will discover that whatever the problem you're trying to solve, it works, right? When the company has the data and they spend a lot of time and effort on getting it together, and then actually they do get into that stage of training a machine learning model or really applying AI, it's really successful, which is great.
But that is just that pilot case. That is
exactly.
not the entire company, and you cannot just roll that out based on the pilot case.
That's exactly right, right? Because you're working in sort of a lab environment, and you're just trying to prove, does the technology actually work? And when it does work, the question then becomes, how do you put it into the hand, well, of the everyday users, the people in the organization that will need to interact with that AI system one way or another? And that's really when the challenges all of a sudden are not only technical anymore, right? It's more about the people, it's about the processes and making sure, you know, people know the new process, what it should look like and what has changed since.
Can you share some other customers' examples of use cases that you have seen go after different industries, and how may customers go about identifying those?
So let me first answer the second part of the question, right? How would you identify suitable use cases? I'm a firm believer that you basically need to look at the company's value chain, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe starting at in sales and marketing, how do you market your products? Where's the potential to talk to your customers more efficiently or in a more personalized manner? But then when you step back and you look at what are the products that you're actually selling, how might you use AI to develop new products, right? To improve what you already have. So really think, you know, longitudinally of how you might use AI to identify use cases. So one example we might use, let's say you're a financial services institution here in Switzerland, right? And you're a retail bank and you're in the business of giving loans to customers. Mm-hmm. So historically, let's say 20 years ago, a customer would walk in, ask for a loan amount, and you would need to make a decision, a business decision on, do you want to give your money to the customer or not, right? Because it's this inherent trade-off of what's the risk and what's the reward from a commercial perspective, so to say. So typically what you might have done as a bank would be you come up with some business rules that would say, well, if the customer is asking, let's say for 10,000 Swiss francs, and that loan amount is smaller than half of their annual salary, something like that, you know, clear rule, then you would give them the money. Now, if you try to bring AI into this example, what you will discover is that the AI might be able to use much more subtle and refined patterns in data of historic loans that you have given to customers. So what that means is you will hopefully be better in your decision making, mm-hmm. you know, to give out, to reduce the risk of not actually getting repaid your loan. And also what it means is that now the front office staff, the people who work with the customer, they will have a different process to follow. It's no longer that rule of thumb or that business rule that we had previously. It's now about collecting the information from the customer, feeding it to an AI system, see what the prediction is. So the AI system will basically make the decision and say, yes, give out that loan, or no, it's too high of a risk. Mm-hmm. And that's a different process that people will need to familiarize themselves with.
So it is about making all the data accessible to the bank front office clerk. But again, at the same time, that's how we see how data quality truly matters.
Absolutely. Without proper data, you will always struggle with putting AI into practice, right? But to the same extent, I would argue, you would also struggle really unleashing business value from it if you cannot put it into the flow of work, if you cannot put it, in your words, into the hands of that bank clerk. Right?
And that's why I think that's very, very important point when you say, okay, first you identify those cases. And then you see, okay, what is going to be next to support those cases? And sometimes customers are super quick in defining a decision, and the decision, you know, we will go for this or for this, without identifying really those cases first and what they really need to go first.
Absolutely. And some of those challenges really are then, you know, when you all of a sudden you realize the potential that AI has, right? And you narrow down a list of use cases, it becomes an issue of prioritization. Mm-hmm. Which one are you going to do first, right? Which one gives you better ROI? Which one maybe has less risk associated with it? So it has a lot to do with, you know, getting your business priorities straight and then having the AI initiatives kind of follow that as well. Yeah.
Obviously, for each department, they are the most important one. So how to really identify which to go first and what kind of priority are you looking into it for the business that you say, okay, we are going this or this, or we are going for this department or this use case first.
Yeah, I think that's typically where you would need to have like a corporate function that overlooks all of these AI initiatives. But quite frankly, I think it's few customers who struggle with that. The majority of the customers I've worked with over the last 10 plus years on that has really been, you know, doing one project here and one there. And it hasn't been, you know, this flood of AI initiatives, and we don't know which ones to prioritize. It's been more of the opposite, to be honest.
Are we too hesitant in different industries?
I would say so, yeah. You can clearly sense, you know, hesitance in terms of willingness to accept risk, right? And then you just pair that with this probabilistic nature of the AI, right? And it's a difficult mix, let's say, to convince internal stakeholders, basically, to look into a project like that.
Now, I really, really enjoyed the case that you brought up from banking. Now, we mentioned in the intro, Vanessa and I, that you're an expert in the pharmaceutical industry. Help us understand some of the specifics of that industry and how far is that industry different?
So pharma is probably as hard as it gets when it comes to really driving value out of AI, right? It's a very regulated industry, much like financial services, the example I used before. It's regulated in a way that, you know, the way that you would develop new products or like try to find new products, it's developed in the way that you are then hopefully going to be able to market them. And there's heavy regulations in place how you're going to be able to speak to your customers about that product, right? And one of the, I think, most complex parts of the industry is, you know, one of the things that I like to do when I talk to various people from pharmaceutical companies is like, who do you think your customer is? Such a simple example, but you'll be surprised about the different, you know, nuanced responses you're going to get, because depending on the function that you talk to, somebody might say, well, it's clearly the patient, right? The patient is the one that, you know, uses our product. When you talk to somebody in sales and marketing, well, they have a different opinion. Their customer is the HCP, so the physician, the doctor that prescribes the medication. When you talk from somebody in a market access function, they will say, well, it's the payers, the health insurance providers that are the customers. So just think about that, right? This myriad of different stakeholders, different angles, and then you're trying to bring novelty like AI to those, you will end up in a quite dynamic environment, I would say, where it's not easy to then identify use cases that are actually, you know, worth pursuing, given all of that is so heavily regulated.
You're saying it's hard to find these use cases, but where are they? Give us a couple of examples of use cases in the pharma industry of where you are seeing this is where and how AI can actually make a difference.
Yeah, so there's tons of use cases, right? Let's start then again by looking at them along the value chain. I think it's the most like chronological way to think of them. So if you are trying to find a new compound, like a new drug, essentially, new therapy, you might use AI to identify potential targets or maybe look at your existing treatments that you have already approved and identify whether they would be suitable for additional conditions or indications, as we call them in pharma, right? So that's, let's say, in the early stage of a development of a product. Then when you actually go into marketing them, well, it becomes quite complex to understand which of my customers, so which of the physicians that I'm marketing to, is in what stage of what we think as an advocacy spectrum, right? Somebody might be totally new to that drug. Somebody else might have been prescribing a similar drug for many years. So how do I now tailor my message to them, personalize it, right? So that it resonates with them, that it strengthens their trust in that specific medication, that they are continuing to prescribe it to the patient, because it's not only the best product, but it's also the safest and hence the best choice. If you then think further about patients who are actually on the therapy, many of them will, you know, drop off or just discontinue the therapy for a myriad of reasons, right? Some of them might feel a lot better and will tell to themselves, well, I don't need that pill anymore. Others might experience, hopefully not, but might experience side effects that they are not expecting, they're not happy to deal with. So just, you know, when you put a data hat on, right, and you look at the experience of a patient, you realize there's so much data that you can gather that you can then make sense of, and again, realize, well, why are you, Stefan, if you're on a treatment, right? Why are you likely to discontinue it? And what could I do to help you continue it? Because you need to stay on the treatment to get that sustained improved health outcome, basically. So it's really, the use cases are really manifold, and it depends on the business function that you're in, right? I haven't mentioned now functions like HR or finance that are more generic and mm-hmm. less pharma specific, mm-hmm. but it's really, it's really powerful, I think.
It's super interesting. So thank you so much, Mark, for being here with us today in this episode. It's a wrap. And thank you for this conversation. We have covered some valuable insights into the world of AI, from understanding the key challenges businesses face to identify impactful use cases across industries.
And as Mark said, there is no free lunch when it comes to AI. Success takes thoughtful strategy. It takes collaboration and a deep understanding of how AI can actually align with your business goals. Again, thank you, Mark. Thank you for watching. I'm Stefan Lendi.
And I'm Vanessa Gentile.
Bye-bye.